ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 13, Text 29.
Evam Raja Vidurena Anujena Pragya Chakshur Bodhita Ajamita Chitva Sveshu Sneha Pashan Pradhimno Nishtakrama Ratra Sandarshitadva Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena Pragya Chakshur Bodhita Ajamita Chitva sveshu sneha pashan trithimno Nishchakrama pratri sandarshitadva Evam raja vidurena nujena Pragya chakshur bodhita ajamidaha Chitva sveshu sneha pashandrithimno Nishchakrama bhartra sandarshitadva Evam raja vidurena nujena Pragya chakshur bodhita ajamidaha Chitva sveshu sneha pashan prithimno Nishchakrama bhartra sandarshitadva Evam Thus Raja King Dhritarashtra Vidurena Anujena By his younger brother Vidura Pragya, introspective knowledge. Chakshuhu, eyes. Bodhitaha, being understood. Ajamitaha, Dhritarashtra, scion of the family of Ajamita. Chitva, by breaking. Sveshu, regarding kinsmen. Sneha Pashan, strong network of affection. Tradhimnaha, because of steadfastness. Nishchakrama, got out. Dratra, by his brother. Sandarshita, direction to. Adva, the path of liberation. Thus, Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the scion of the family of Ajamid, firmly convinced by introspective knowledge, pragya, broke at once the strong network of familial affection by his resolute determination. Thus, he immediately left home to set out on the path of liberation, as directed by his younger brother, Vidura. Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great preacher of the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, has stressed the importance of association with sadhus, pure devotees of the Lord. He said that even by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can achieve all perfection. We are not ashamed to admit that this fact was experienced in our practical life. Were we not favored by His divine grace, Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, by our first meeting for a few minutes only, it would have been impossible for us to accept this mighty task of describing Srimad Bhagavatam in English. Without seeing Him at that opportune moment, we could have become a very great business magnate, but never would we have been able to walk the path of liberation and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord under instructions of His divine grace. And here is another practical example by the action of Vidura's association with Dhritarashtra. Maharaj Dhritarashtra was tightly bound in a network of material affinities related to politics, economy, and family attachment. And he did everything in his power to achieve so-called success in his planned projects. But he was frustrated from the beginning to the end, so far as his material activities were concerned. And yet, despite his life of failure, he achieved the greatest of all success in self-realization by the forceful instructions of a pure devotee of the Lord, who is the typical emblem of a sadhu. The scriptures enjoin, therefore, that one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all other kinds of association. And by doing so, one will have ample opportunity to hear the sadhus, who can cut to pieces the bonds of illusory affection in the material world. It is a fact that the material world is a great illusion, because everything appears to be a tangible reality, but at the next moment evaporates, like the dashing foam of the sea or a cloud in the sky. A cloud in the sky undoubtedly appears to be a reality because it rains, and due to rains, so many temporary green things appear. But in the ultimate issue, everything disappears, namely the cloud, rain, and green vegetation, all in due course. But the sky remains, and the varieties of sky or luminaries also remain forever. Similarly, the absolute truth, which is compared to the sky, remains eternally, and the temporary cloud-like illusion comes and goes away. Foolish living beings are attracted by the temporary cloud, but intelligent men are more concerned with the eternal sky with all its variegatedness. Evam Raja Vidurenatma Jaina Pragya Chakshur Bodhita Ajamidaha Chitva Sveshu Sneha Pashan Dridhimno Nishchakrama Bratra Santarshita Dva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sadhusanga Sadhusanga Sarva Shastri Koi Lava Mantra Sadhusange Sarva Siddhi Koi. He stressed the importance of associating with sadhus, saintly persons. All the scriptures repeatedly say, get sadhu sangha, get sadhu sangha, get sadhu sangha. Even if you get one moment of sadhu sangha, you can have all perfection. Satam prasangad, mamavirya sambhido, bhavanti hritkarna rasayankata, taj joshanadashu apavarga bhartmani. Shadharatir Bhaktir Anukramishati. By hearing the Bhagavad Katha, Krishna Katha, in the association of pure devotees, the power of the transcendental subject matter is realized. And step by step, one advances on the path of faith, attraction, and pure devotional service. Oh, this is a very interesting instruction here in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a town of, in Prabhupada's time, 5,000 temples. Now it must have increased. And how many sadhus are there? The whole town is filled with sadhus. Even the rickshaw wallahs, while driving their rickshaws, announce their presence and ask other people to get out of the way by chanting Radhe, Radhe. Such extraordinary. You won't find taxi wallahs like this anywhere in the world. And then there are so many people who are performing bhajan, and there are so many people who are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, practically the whole town, everyone is a Gaudiya Vaishnava. So everyone is a sadhu. Some of them are living in Govardhan, some in Radhakund. They're performing severe or very serious devotional service. You see them, they're practicing. People are doing Dandavat Parikrama with so many stones piled up. How exalted these people are. So we should take everyone's association. Anyone who's born in Vrindavan, the Shastra said that the demigods see them as residents of the spiritual world. But Srila Prabhupada was very particular about our sadhu sangha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the general instruction, just get sadhu sangha. Find a sadhu and get his association. But the sadhu that we found, the founder in charge of this society, was very particular about our sadhu sangha. Sometimes devotees would go to Radhakund, they'd come back with this grey Radhakund tilak, so you'd know that they'd been there. And Prabhupada would want to know, where did they go? Who did they go with? Why did they go? Who were they mixing with? Am I right, Subhad Maharaj?
Yes, 100% right.
In Mayapur also, the same thing. Yes. Devotees would go. There are so many, in Mayapur, there are so many temples and so many mutts. Birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. So many holy places are there. And so many devotees came from the West. And naturally we want to visit everywhere. But if Srila Prabhupada found that some of these devotees were going to this month or that month, why did they go? Who told them they could go? Why are they going? Who permitted them to go? Those who were present in Srila Prabhupada's time know these things. Prabhupada was very particular about the way that we took sadhu sangha. Brahmananda Prabhu, you want to add to that?
Microphone.
You have a second microphone? The microphone is coming for you, Prabhu. Here, let's take this one.
No, 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 no.
So, once Krishna Goswami, he went to chant his rounds to the Krishna Balaram tree.
And hold the microphone close.
So, as it happened, Prabhupada called for him. So, we didn't know he had come. So, we were looking all over, but we couldn't find him. And then Prabhupada kept asking, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? So, after an hour, he came back. So he said, oh, Prabhupada wants to see you. So then first Prabhupada asked him, where were you? He said, oh, I was tending my rounds. The Krishna Balaram tree. So Prabhupada was very angry. And he said, you don't know, but actually everything you're looking for in Vrindavan is within this compound.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada was most experienced, and we were most naive. When the first devotees came from ISKCON to India, it must have been about 1967, I think. Those two devotees came, Rishikesh and
Hari Vilas. They came to India and came back.
No, the two who went, Ramanuja and...
Oh, Ramanuja, yeah.
1967, roughly?
Oh, yeah.
So, 1967, no, before. 1967, the first two devotees came from America. They were having problems with the draft board at that time. The government was getting people for the war to fight as soldiers, and they were more interested in chanting Hare Krishna. But, so the solution was they absconded to India. So while in India, they were completely naive about what was going on in India. But they, I think under Srila Prabhupada's direction, came to Vrindavan, and they were staying with a sadhu. And not only an ordinary sadhu, but a Gaudiya Vaishnav. And not only a Gaudiya Vaishnav, but a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami. So they're staying in Vrindavan and they're hearing something. And Prabhupada begins getting letters from these young men. Srila Prabhupada began getting letters from these young men that the sadhu in whose ashram they were staying was talking to them about the importance of a Shiksha Guru. You have initiation, Diksha, but Shiksha Guru is very important. Prabhupada was getting letters about Shiksha Guru. So, it just so happened within the course of, I'm making a shortcut story, that pretty soon one of these boys was reinitiated by this Gaudiya Vaishnav. No correspondence with Prabhupada about anything, just reinitiated. And Prabhupada was appalled that this is completely against the Vaishnav etiquette. Completely against the Vaishnav etiquette. And he's done this. So, and Prabhupada is getting still letters, Shiksha Guru. Prabhupada told, maybe one was caught and two were still remaining, something like that, that he instructed them, go. You leave that place. Prabhupada didn't say, oh, he's a sadhu, you just go on taking sadhu sangha. Prabhupada said, get out. And if you really want a Shiksha Guru, you go to some other place. He said, my godbrother is there. I regard him as Shiksha Guru. You go there and stay there. Prabhupada was very particular. Very particular. Then, later actually, that another devotee was staying there. And an article was sent from back to Godhead giving some instructions, teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, given by this second sadhu in Mayapur. And it was sent to us for publication in Dr. Godhead. And in America, we didn't know who any of these people were. We hadn't been to India. We knew who our godbrothers were, but who was who among Prabhupada's godbrothers. We got this article that this is some conversations that I had with Prabhupada's godbrother, and even Prabhupada regards him as Shiksha Guru. So we wrote to Prabhupada, is this all right to publish? Prabhupada said, yes, it's all right to publish. It's understood that if we publish it, it's an authorized thing. And we asked him, should we mention that this person is your Shiksha Guru? The Prabhupada said, you can publish the article, it's all right. He said, there is no need of mentioning Shiksha Guru in this connection. Very significant line. No need of mentioning it. That means Srila Prabhupada didn't shoot for a purpose, that to rescue these boys from the clutches of one sadhu who was canvassing them, you need a Shiksha Guru, you need a Shiksha Guru. Prabhupada instructed, no, here's a better Shiksha Guru. I even look at him as Shiksha Guru. But then when there was a suggestion that this, it should be published in Back to Godhead, that this is Prabhupada Shiksha Guru, Prabhupada said, there is no need to mention this. And you won't find any place in Prabhupada's books you mention that such and such person is my Shiksha Guru. You'll find again and again and again that Srila Prabhupada refers to his divine grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And this is significant. Later, for some purpose, some other people, many years later, began advertising that such and such person is Prabhupada's Shiksha Guru. But Prabhupada never advertised it. And when there was a proposal to publish it, Prabhupada said, there is no need, which was a polite way of, Prabhupada's polite way of saying, don't do it. Of course, he was a very exalted person. He was a very powerful sadhu, but Prabhupada still said, there is no need of mentioning.
That letter that Prabhupada wrote was like a letter of introduction.
Yeah.
That you go and you show this letter. Prabhupada wrote that letter, it was meant as a letter of introduction that they should go and take shelter and they would show this letter. And of course, Prabhupada is going to speak very highly of the person so that they would be accepted. That was the purpose of the letter.
There's always danger in taking one or two words from Srila Prabhupada and making a flag out of it.
Banner.
A banner. So everything needs to be understood very carefully. Therefore, tad vijnana artam sa gurumeva abhigacchet. One should approach a bona fide spiritual master and understand from him the intricacies of devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the principles, but how to apply those principles, in fact, is given by the spiritual master, by the acharya. These things are specified. So being naive, we think a person is a sadhu, we should hear from him. And generally that's the principle. But Srila Prabhupada was very particular about which sadhus we would hear from. He was very particular. Sometimes we hear that Prabhupada gave a final instruction that we should all go hear from some such and such sadhu. I was there in the room. There was no such instruction. Prabhupada said, sometimes if you have a question, he said to some of the senior devotees, he didn't say technical, he said, sometimes if you have some question, you may ask this one or that one. But, and that is now taken as a general instruction, you should all go there. Not only that, you should all leave ISKCON and go there. Because that's what Prabhupada wanted. In the words of the sages, give us a break. So one should try to understand these instructions very carefully. Sri Jagannanda Pandit, the personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was very eager to go to Vrindavan. He was pestering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want to go to Vrindavan, I want to go to Vrindavan, please give me permission to go to Vrindavan. Finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all right, you can go. Stay there a short while, then come right back. And when you're there, go straight to Sanatan Goswami. And don't associate with anyone else. Go straight to Sanatan Goswami, camp out with him, and don't mix with the other Brajvasis. Now why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give that instruction? That was for a different reason. Prabhupada was instructing these particular devotees, get out of there because you're going to be contaminated. Because someone has designs on you and wants to canvas you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a different reason. These people are all spontaneous Raghunuga Bhaktas. The people of Braja have spontaneous love for Krishna, and you won't understand it. You won't understand it. So, mixing with them, you'll commit offenses to them. So don't mix with them. Don't mix with them. Of course, Sanatan Goswami was also on the highest level of devotional service. He was more than a Raghunuga Bhakta. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Sanatan Goswami was the guardian of the regulative principles of devotional service. And he knew what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. He was the strict follower, right-hand man of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even though all the residents of Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered them pure devotees, spontaneous devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Jagadananda Pandit, don't mix with them. Go straight to Sanatana Goswami, stay under his shelter, and then come back. So sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. We should all get sadhu sangha very carefully. We should be very careful and very judicious about taking sadhu sangha. And if we're not judicious, we should follow those who are judicious. Srila Prabhupada expected us to get permission from him about sadhu sangha. Any ordinary person on the street we could associate with. That also very carefully, not to mix with the non-devotees. But Prabhupada sometimes was even more careful about mixing with the sadhus. One Mayavadi came to the Boston temple and somehow wangled his way into staying for some time. And Prabhupada wrote with great alarm that I understand that one Mayavadi sannyasi is staying there in the temple. And Prabhupada was concerned that everyone could become contaminated. He was a sadhu. But don't get out, get out. Although he was certainly a sadhu. Of course, Mayavadi sadhu, they're a different kind of sadhu. But even Vaishnav sadhu, Prabhupada was very careful. Yasya yat sangati pumso manivatsya syat satad gunaha. Association is like a crystal. Whoever you associate with, you start to reflect that person's way of doing things, that person's outlook, that person's realizations, that person's purposes and ideas. It's like a crystal. Svakular dhye tato dhiman swayutan yeva sanshraye. Hari Bhakti Sudodhaya says, therefore, one should, for the benefit of one's own community, svakula riddhye, for the benefit of one's own community, an intelligent person, dhima, svayutani eva samshrine, should take shelter of those who are in the same community as him. Well, there are two words. The community is mentioned twice, kula and yutani. Kula and yuta. For the sake of his sampradaya, or the sake of his community, sake of his society, he should associate with others who are in the same group. Prabhupada said, birds of a feather flock together.
There's another very important word,
swajati.
Swajati. Sajatiya snigdha.
So, of course, we have a greater family, the family of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the family of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then the family of all Vaishnavas. Then, what is that? The whole world, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, the whole world is our family. But still Prabhupada was particular. Prabhupada didn't say, oh, the whole world is our family, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are our family. Prabhupada said, ISKCON is our family. He was very particular. Of course, now Prabhupada used to say, criticizing some society that says, you know, the deities in the temple don't worship the deities. There are those who say, you know, you follow the Vedas, but you don't worship the deities because God is everywhere. So Prabhupada said that God is everywhere except in the temple. So now the principle expanded is ISKCON is everywhere except in ISKCON. Anyway, Hare Krishna.
There are some other significant points in this verse.
Maharaj Dhritarashtra was extremely attached. Sneha Pashan. Sneha means affection, love. Affection. Sneha. And Pasha means rope. How are we tied? We're bound. We say we're in material bondage. How are we bound? How are we bound to this material world? Sneha Pasha. They say love makes the world go round. By our love and affection, for our family members especially, wife, children, we remain stuck in material existence. Ata griha kshetra sutapta vitaira janasya moho yamahamamiti. Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita that wife and children are natural objects of affection. Naturally, if you're married, you'll have affection for your wife and children. But in Bhagavad Gita it said, one should not be more attached to wife and children than ordained in the revealed scriptures. One should not be more attached. Than ordained in the revealed scriptures. Though at a certain stage of life, association very closely with wife and children is standard. In the brahmacharya ashram, the student goes off and studies with the other brahmacharis. Even with his mother, he's not staying tied to the apron strings. He goes to the place of the spiritual master. And he has some contact with women. He goes from door to door begging, Mataji, could you give some chapati? Can you give something? But of course, in brahmacharya ashram, strictly, there's no sex life. Then grihastha ashram is the ashram in which association between man and woman is allowed within regulative principles. And that's also a stage for spiritual advancement. Husband and wife together cooperate in the service of Krishna and continue in spiritual progress. But that stage of life is not meant to be permanent. Nothing's permanent in the material world, but that's not even meant to be lasting in our life. Panchashordham vanam brajet. After the age of 50, householder life is not good. After the age of 50, householder life is not good. Panchashortam. After 50, vanambrajet. One should get out. One should go to the forest. Vanaprastam. After the second ashram for spiritual progress, the third ashram comes. It's not that one should remain in the second ashram forever. Second ashram is very good. Just like grade school is very good. But one is not expected to remain in grade school forever. After grade school, he has to go on to the next school, high school, middle school, whatever it may be called. If he's there in the first grade, second grade, he says, oh, very nice. But 15 years later, if he's still in the first grade, second grade, what's wrong with you? It's not forever. There's an advertisement, De Beers Diamond Company. They show these sort of gently romantic pictures of a man and his wife and a diamond ring, South African diamond ring. And the slogan is, a diamond is forever. So in the material conception of life, we think that the relationship symbolized by this diamond, this bond between husband and wife, is meant to last forever. And therefore it's the business of sadhus like Vidura to come and rip up this material misconception. Oh, what forever? How long will you stay in family life? And what happiness will you get? Now you're to Dhritarashtra, your teeth are falling out, your liver is going bad, you're blind from birth anyway, there's nothing left of you practically, and whatever is left is going to be finished completely. And you're going to die like a dog in the house of your enemies, or those who maintained you while you were their enemy. You're going to die like a dog. Get out. This is the business of a sadhu. Prabhupada said sometimes strong words are needed to awaken a sleeping man. In the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, asanga shastrena chidhena chitra. Ashvatthamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena chidhena chitra. This upside down tree of the material world is suvirudhamulam. It's very strongly rooted. And therefore one has to cut oneself off asanga shastrena by the weapon of detachment. What kind of detachment? Shastrena, asanga shastrena, dridhena, determined detachment. One has to be determined. I can't stay in family life my whole career. I can't remain attached to my wife and children forever. I can't stay at home trying to make sure that everything is properly arranged for my departure sometime in the distant future. I have to get out. Prabhupada gives the example. A business is open from 9 to 5. And even though there might be some customers willing to come at 5:15 or 5:30, at 5 o'clock they close, that's all. Business finished. So this is the Vedic injunction. There may be unfinished business at 50 or whatever, but just close shop and get out. Rather, close shop and go home. Back home, back to God. This is the mission of human life. So this Vanaprastha ashram is very important. Sannyasa ashram comes later. First, there's Vanaprastha ashram in which man and woman, wife, may associate without sex life. They travel to different places for spiritual progress, different holy places. Or the way Srila Prabhupada did, you leave home for some time, you come back and see how things are going. Again you leave, then again you come back and see how things are going. Again you leave, again come back. And then one day, you just never come back. Because if I leave today directly from householder life, next week I may think, oh, I missed my wife, and come back. Well, that should not happen. Therefore, the Vanaprastha ashram is the intermediate stage for developing detachment. So there's some safety there. The wife is still there, the husband is still there. Things are not immediately turned topsy-turvy. But there's a strong program for detachment. Both by the wife and the husband, they give up social life, or social affairs, sense gratification, business life, business affairs, all of this family's business. That chapter is closed, and we open the later chapter of developing strong detachment. And then the final chapter is complete detachment and going back home, back to Godhead. So this is our program. And in the association of sadhus, we should follow this program. Sadhus means especially we should associate with those who are more advanced. If we just keep ourselves in the association of those who share the same attachments we do materially, it will be difficult for us to make progress. We should associate with those who have a greater taste for hearing and chanting and serving, and that will help us. All right, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions? That microphone? No, this way, toward Krishna Bhana. Statement about why people go elsewhere, because people are individuals and people have their individual reasons. But one reason certainly is that we're naive. We don't really know what we're doing because we don't read the books, because we don't practice strongly, and because we don't associate with the advanced devotees within our own society. And so just out of naivete, we think, well, let me go someplace else. Or out of misunderstanding. There was one disciple of His Holiness Gaura Govinda Maharaj who heard again and again from Gaura Govinda Maharaj that one has to hear from the lips of a sadhu. One has to hear from the lips of a sadhu. And Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj also instructed his disciples, don't go outside the society. So, after the disappearance of His Holiness Gaura Govinda Maharaj, this disciple thought, I have to hear from the lips of a sadhu. And now my Guru Maharaj is gone. I have to find someone else to hear from. Because tapes that's not the same. I have to hear from a living sadhu. So he left his Guru Maharaj's project, left Prabhupada's society, and he went elsewhere. But before that, I met him, and he was telling me about, you know, have to hear from the lips of a pure devotee. I said, I have more faith in your Guru Maharaj than you do. I think he's still present in his sound vibration. Not that, you know, now he's dead and the potency is dead. The transcendental sound has potency. We associate with our spiritual master, we associate with Srila Prabhupada by transcendental sound and by service. It's not a theoretical thing, it's a fact. But sometimes we don't have faith in that fact and we think, I have to go here, I have to go there. As Brahmananda Prabhu mentioned, that Srila Prabhupada said, everything you need is within this compound. But we think it's not. And therefore we're anxious to go elsewhere, anxious to go elsewhere, anxious to go elsewhere. And what will you find elsewhere? You'll find all the same people who used to be here. That will be your sadhu sangha. You'll associate with all the people you used to associate with. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, presented by Nandala Bhisattva. Just a simple question. During last week's class, the speaker stressed very strongly about the way we say vidur and vidura. I said as soon as we change, we we say the name Vidura, we make the personality female. We should pronounce it as Vidur. Can you please clarify for my question?
Well, of course, I have the disadvantage of not having attended the class where this was said. But I'll just give you a little of what I know linguistically, which is not a lot. There are two A's in the Sanskrit language, long A and short A. So, and the long A, under some circumstances, many circumstances, indicates feminine. So, for example, Krishna is masculine, but Krishna is feminine. So Draupadi, another name of Draupadi, is Krishna. But Krishna is masculine. So long A may denote feminine. And I have Basu Ghosh Prabhu here to straighten me out if I mess up. Long A is feminine. Short A is masculine. Now in Hindi, typically short A is simply dropped. It's simply dropped. So you'll find, what's a typical good...
Vidura is Sanskrit.
Yeah, I'm coming to that. I'm coming to that. So, for example, the Hindi speakers will say Vidur.
Bengali
also. Vidur.
Yeah. Sure, all right.
You'll find, in fact, who was it typically? Anyway, you'll find typically Hindi speakers drop the final A, because in the Hindi language, that's what you do. You drop final A's. So you have Vidur. And you'll find so many words even that are Sanskrit and Hindi, but in Hindi you'll drop that final A. That's the standard pronunciation form for Hindi language. You drop the final A. But in Sanskrit, you may keep that final A. As Vasu Ghosh Prabhu was saying, you say Vidura. If you say Vidura, maybe he has a sister. But if you say Vidura, short A, then it's all right.
My question was...
Let's wait for the bell to stop. We stop, huh? I'll stop. The bell also chants Hare Krishna.
So what about devotees? Let's say they serve all their lives and then they want to get their economic finances and material situation from the stability of 50 years old. And devotees marry all their age. So, you know, what about this 50 years old? It's not their family life. So.
Devotees get married late and then they start their families late. Then what about that? Well, a good case could be made for just letting it slide. That is to say, if you married late and you started your family late, then you, particularly you already have one or two children, just let it slide. You know, otherwise you have a child and then you want more and you're 45. So now you've just extended your time in family life by another 10 or 15 years. Your family responsibilities, your economic responsibilities, your obligation to work and do all of those things, you've just extended it at the time when you were just about to get out of family life. It's something like you're sentenced to prison for 30 years, and 2 weeks before you're released, you punch the warden. You're in for another 10 years or so. So, good advice to householders that, all right, you started late, so get out early. All right. Do we stop or take another question or two? We stop. We will take another couple of questions. Okay. The mic's going that way.
okay, it's going your way after all. This devotee person. Yes.
I'm not worried about our family, children, security, if they are well.
Not worried. We're supposed to get out at 50 and not worry about our family, our children, our security, everything, whether they're well. We should worry about that before we're 50.
But Srila Prabhupada, for example, in his will, he left some Lakshmi in the back for his family and children.
Srila Prabhupada, for example, left some money for his wife and children in his final will. Srila Prabhupada, to give the same example, left his wife and children, even though his daughters were not married. Generally, the responsibility of the father is to see that the daughter is married. Even without having his daughter married, Prabhupada left family life. And Prabhupada explained that there will always be unfinished business. You know, when it's time for you to retire from being chief executive officer of your corporation, you'll never say, now my business is everything I ever wanted it to be, and I'm ready to hand it over to the next man. There's always something more that you wish you could have done that's not straightened out, that may go haywire if the next guy doesn't see to it exactly the right way. But at a certain point, you know, just retire. Whatever the unfinished, same thing. 5 o'clock comes, you shut down the business. So those preparations should be made beforehand. As far as possible, the responsible householder should think about the future. What will be the situation of my wife? What will be the situation of my children? And then at 50, he should get out. I've done as much as I could. Hare Krishna. After all, what will happen if you die? If you die at 48, somehow she'll live. Sannyas means voluntary death. But anyway, we're talking about vanaprastha, but sannyas is voluntary death.
The example that you gave is not a good example. Prabhupada has a specific legal reason why he included his family in the world. So you can't question.
It's also a fact that there was a particular legal reason why Prabhupada left a rather token amount to his wife and family. So that should be considered. Sachin Ryan Prabhu? What would we say to people who say, well, because we're born in the Western countries and we didn't follow all the Vedic sanskaras, these dates may not apply to us? I would say, first of all, that Srila Prabhupada wrote his books for us, not for the people, the Pukka Vedic sanskaris. He knew who he was writing to. He was writing to us. And he says this thing again and again and again. I would say that, first of all. Second thing I would say, that if we didn't have the benefit of all the Vedic samskars, we'd better get out of family life. More urgent for us. The family life of those who have Vedic samskars is a different thing from our family life. It's a more refined,
more spiritually advanced kind of family life than we're accustomed to in the West. So if we didn't have the benefit of the Vedic sanskars, and our married life is not therefore on that platform, more urgent for us to get out of family life and finish our business so that we don't wind up with a greater burden of attachment at the end on account of our lack of sanskars, and get stuck again in this material world so that maybe I can take a birth and get better sanskaras next life. It's an argument for leaving rather than against. I would say that. Prabhupada repeats this thing again and again in his books. After 50, get out. After 50, get out. Rajay, imperative mood. Prabhupada mentions that. It's not optional. One must. If I'm thinking that way also, that, well, it's probably meant for somebody else, that's probably a good indication if I'm introspective, bodhi-prajna. If I'm introspective and I'm thinking, well, this is probably meant for somebody else, I can take that as a good indication that I'm pretty deep in material attachment and that I therefore need to associate with sadhus, break my attachments with determination, and focus on going back home, back to God. I think we should stop. We're one more.
Who are you, Srila Prabhupada, in the spiritual world? Srila Prabhupada said, if I did tell you, you won't believe me. So I'm just wondering that Vaishnava Thakur knows that he's Kamal Manjari in the spiritual world, Vaishnava Thakur. Do you think that in the future we can see if we can watch Srila Prabhupada in the world? This can be revealed to us.
Do I think that in the future Srila Prabhupada's spiritual identity in Krishna Loka can be revealed to us? I think it's none of our business. One time, the one disciple was walking with on a walk with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was talking about separation. And this disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you must always be feeling separation from your group. Yeah. You must always be feeling separation from your Guru Maharaj. And the idea was that it was like a prompt. Prabhupada, could you talk about this? Prabhupada said, that you do not require. Which again is a polite way of saying, none of your business, Charlie. So if Srila Prabhupada had seen fit to instruct us about his personal identity in the spiritual world, he would have done so. But he preferred to keep that matter confidential. So for us to start speculating about it will not be helpful. Apart from that, the question is, in the future, will we realize Prabhupada's identity in Goloka? In the future, will we realize how to follow the four regulative principles? Will we realize how to chant 16 rounds? If we realize that, will we realize how to chant them without offense? Will we realize how to stick with one wife and not somebody else's? You know, we're all ready to go prancing through the groves of Vrindavan with the gopis and the cowherd boys, and we haven't learned how to keep our pants on. But in the mature stage, whatever is required will be revealed to us. All right? Do I take this boy's one last question? No. Okay, he's been really patient. Sorry? When you, Mother Parvati says that Srila Prabhupada said that when you get there, you'll recognize me. Thank you.
Maharaj, in one lecture that Guru Govinda Maharaj gave there, he said the Guru has two things, Kripa and Vanshana.
Has?
Kripa and Vanshana. The Guru has two things, Kripa and Vanshana. Mm. One is mercy and the other one is cheating. Mm. A sincere disciple following properly, he gets the mercy of the Guru. Mm. But a disciple that hangs around the Guru for the prestige of being near the Guru, enjoying prasada, flower garlands, he gets cheated. Mm. So also here, the pure devotee is actually greater than Krishna, because if you think of Krishna as an enemy, Krishna is reciprocated as an enemy. But if you think of a pure devotee as an enemy, he is still reciprocated as a threat. Mm. So it seems to be contradictory. Mm.
The devotee is merciful to everyone. Devotee is merciful to everyone. More merciful than Krishna. I don't think I need to comment. His comment is sufficient in itself. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to the Prabhupada.